Okay, let's go. We're going to start with our Tehillim. Shir Lamalos Asa Einai El Hahari Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. Ezri Me'im Adonai Osei Shamayim Va'aret. Al Yitei Namot Raglacha Al Yonum Shamrecha. Hinei Lo Yanum V'lo Yishan Shomer Yisrael. Adonai Shomrecha Adonai Tzircha Al Yad Yiminecha. Yomam Hashemesh lo yakeka v'yareach b'layla. Adonai yishmarcha mikora, yishmar es nafshecha. Adonai yishmar tseischa uva'echa me'ata v'yad olam. Tzchus refuah shalema for Yaakov Avram ben Micha, Chaim David ben Chana Zelda, Yael Baruch ben Chana Miriam, Rachel Pearl bas Ita, Chaviva Sargila bat Feiga Yacha, Sophie Basilea, Chaim Avram ben Shifra Zisol, Shoshana Tova Bas Esther, Devorah Bas Malka Bracha, Alimech Avram ben Sarashav. There's a name here I cannot read at all. I don't know what it says. You know who wrote this? I can't read this.
Avram ben Margarita Malka.
Is that the name that's written here?
Something by Sarah.
Something Aaron.
Does anyone, who wrote the name here?
Reuven Aaron ben Sarah.
Reuven
Aaron ben
Sarah. No, there's a first name. Is it Reuven?
Reuven.
Oh, Reuven Aaron ben Sarah. Is that correct? Somebody wrote this name down.
Right.
Oh, okay. Reuven Aaron ben Sarah for a full name. What did you say?
Avraham ben Margarita Malka.
Avram ben
Margalita.
Fua Shalema. It's best to write down the names, okay? Because it's hard for me here. It's just easiest to please write it down. All cholam, like you said, we need the Choshev should have Rafulos and Basuras Tova. So last week, is Mati here? Last week we asked a question. I told you that, Michelle, again, this year is hopefully Ezra Soshem going online. Please minimal interruptions. We also have a lot of information to get through, and I really hope to finish it all. Last week I asked a question in the name of my friend and learning partner, Michelle Berger, and I said that she reached out to me, and she asked me, why was Yaakov punished for 22 years with Yosef's absence, or abduction, if you will, because we saw that Rashi tells us, the last Rashi to Parshas told us, he was punished, Rashi says, quote, Mida Kenegan Mida. For the 22 years, he did not serve his parents. He was punished with Yosef's absence for 22 years. So, Michelle Berger asked the question, why? And in fact, we spent some time last week looking at the Psukim. And we begin in Perek Chof Zayin, Pasuk Mem Aleph, Vayistom Esav Es Yaakov. Esav hated, he harbored hatred towards Yaakov, al habracha, asher bercho aviv, over the contested or stolen blessings, but that's not the literal translation, vayomer Esav belibo, and Esav said in his heart, yikruvu yimei evel aviv aharga es Yaakov achi, I have a great idea, my father's going to die, and what will I do? Tell my brother, Vayugad l'Rivka, says Rashi, B'ruach HaKodesh. Rivka understood with Ruach HaKodesh, with divine inspiration, the words of Esav, her eldest son, Vatishlach, and she sent, Vatikra l'Yakov b'na HaKaton, she called to Yaakov, her youngest son, and she said to him, your brother Esav regrets or changes his mind over you, he no longer feels brotherly affection, he wants to kill you. And Va'ata, with an ayin, and now Bini, my son, Shema Bekoli. Listen to my voice. Vikum, get up. Birach lecha, you should run for yourself. El Lavan achi charana, to Lavan my brother, to Charan. Yeshav imo yamim achadim, you should dwell with him for a number of days. Rashi says, what is achadim? Mu'atim, which means few. However, how will you know when to come home? Ada sher tashuv chamas achicha, when the wrath of your brother turns away. Ada shuv af achicha, when the anger of your brother turns away. Mimcha v'shachach es asher asisolo v'shalachti, when he forgets what you have done to him, I will send for you. Ulekachticha misham, I will take you from there. So she says, wait there till I send for you. She sends him away with kavana. Lama eshkal gam shnecham b'yom echad. Why should I be bereaved of both of you on the same day? Rashi explains what she meant. It doesn't matter right now for purposes of our class. The point is that she clearly sends him away until I will
send for you.
Furthermore, his father then repeats these instructions, so to speak. Chavchas pasuk aleph. Vayikra Yitzchak al Yaakov. Now his father calls him. Vayivarichis. So he blesses him further. And vayitzavehu. He commands him. Vayomer lo, and he says to him, Lo tikach isha mibinos kanan, kum leich padana aram besa besua aviyamecha, go to your uncle's house, and take from there isha mibinos lavan, a woman, a wife from the daughters of Lavan, achiyamecha, imecha, and Kel Shakai Yevarichoscha, God will bless you, he'll make you fruitful, he will make you many, you will become a congregation of peoples, and he will give you the bracha of Aram to you and to your seed after you to inherit the land of your sojourns that God gave to Avraham. Vayishlach Yitzchak es Yaakov. His parents send him away. We discussed this last week. We asked a very strong question. It goes to Panar Adram, to Lavan, Ben Besua Ha'arami, Achi Rivka, Eim Yaakov Ve'esav. So how can Rashi tell us, Rashi, the last Rashi in Parashas Todos, Perachav Ches, Pasuk Tes, Rashi says, he hid in the house of Aver for 14 years. We know that before he actually went away. So between the end of Toldos and the beginning of Vayetzi, there's a 14-year period where Yaakov the Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim sits and he is steiging. Aval lo ne'enash aleihem. For those 14 years, he was not punished. Bizchus haTorah. And the merit of his Torah study. Shaharei lo peirash Yosef me aviv. I'm still in the question. Ella esri mushdayim shana. Yosef was separated from his father for 22 years. Dahainu misheva asrei from mishva asrei from the time he was abducted and sold at the age of 17. Ad shloshim v'teisha till his father comes out at the age of 39. Kineged esri mushdayim shapeirash Yaakov me aviv v'lo kibdo. Equal to the 22 years that Yaakov was separated from his father and did not mikayim the mitzvah of kibud avim, the heim esrim shanim beveis Lavan. Those are the 20 years in the house of Lavan. We just read about in yesterday's parsha. 7 years for Leah, 7 years for Rachel, 6 years for the flocks. Ushtei shanim shashaha baderach. He spent some time meandering along the way coming home. He built bayis for him, house in Sukkos. Okay, he spent 18 months on the path home. Ubishvilschus haTorah, Rashi repeats, in the schus of the Torah, lo ne nash aleim, he was not punished for those years, and therefore Yosef was separated from him 22 years. Concludes Rashi, mida kineged mida. Furthermore, okay, Rashi tells us in Perek Lamed Zayin, so that's Rashi to Toldos, referring to the happenings in Vayetze, which is the work for his, the running away, the work for the wives, the work for the flocks, the coming home. And then we move to Parshas Vayeshev. And in Parshas Vayeshev, we are told the story of Yosef and his brothers. There's a reason I'm bringing this up. Father sends Yosef to go find the brothers who are shepherds for the flocks in the fields. Vayiru oso merachok. They see him coming from afar. We all know this famous story. Uviterem yikrav aleihem. Before he even comes close. Vayisnaklu oso lahamiso. They make a whole conspiracy. What do they really want to do with him first?
To kill him.
Vayomru ish alachiv. Here comes the master of dreams. Let us go and kill him. We will throw him into one of the pits. We will say a wild animal ate him. Let's see what will become of his dream. So Rashi says that the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying, let's see what will become of his dreams. But pshah, they want to kill him. And Reuven hears, Vayatzilehu miyadam. It's a strange statement. Vayatzilehu miyadam. Why is that such a strange statement? What does that actually mean?
That they did throw him in.
No. What does it mean? Vayishma Reuven vayatzilehu miyadam.
He saved them
from their hands. Why is that such a strange statement? Because he didn't save them? Reuven didn't save him. How could the Torah say, Vayishma Reuven, Reuven hears, Vayatzileu miyadam, and he saves him from there. And so, Pshah, you could say, they didn't kill him. They intended to kill him. They only threw him into the pit and abducted him. But interestingly, the Pasha Pshat is, that statement means, and he saved him from their hands. So the Medrash says something very powerful. Had Reuven known that the Torah would have written about him, Vayatzileu miyadam, he would have carried his brother home on his shoulders. Sometimes the road to, hell is paved with good intentions. I'm sorry, I'm using it as an expression. Sometimes we have the best of intentions, but we don't have the courage, the tenacity, the pride. Sometimes pride is very healthy. To do what we're supposed to do. Reuven is very weak. He ends up losing the Bechorah. And he says, let's not strike him. Vayomer Leim Ruvain, let's not spill blood, let's throw him into the pit and the desert, let's not send forth our hand. Laman Hatzil Oso Miyadam Lashivo El Aviv. His intentions were actually to bring him home to father. Okay? And it was that Yosef comes to his brothers. They stripped him up of his ksonas pasim that is upon him, and they take him, they throw him into the pit. The pit is empty, there is no water. And they sit down to eat bread. And they lift their eyes and they see, one second please. So we know that Rashi says, however, there was no water in it. There were snakes and scorpions in the pit. One second. However, the trap over Vayeshvu, interesting shot of the Vilna Gaon that my son told to me last year, and I saved the paper on which he wrote it. How do you know that there were snakes in it? Because the next word is Habar Reik Ein Bo Mayim. The pit is empty, there's no water. The trap over Vayeshvu is, what is that called?
Shalshelet?
No. There's only four Shalshelot in the Torah, and that's not one of them. The trap over it is called a Zarka. It looks like a snake. Okay, I don't know how to explain it. It's Vayeshu Lachalachem, right after Vayeshu has that trap over it. Vayeshu is and, Vav, Yeshbo, says the Vilna Gaon. Vayeshu can be divided into three words, Vav and Yeshbo. Over the bow, there's a little snake. Okay, so we can't make fun of this. This is from the Vilna Gaon. It's beautiful. It shows you how nothing in the Torah is an accident at all. How did Chazal learn out that there were snakes? Habarik, the pit is empty. Ebo Mayim, Ve Yeshbo. Trap, snake, inside there's a snake. So they sit to eat bread and they lift their eyes and they see there's a caravan of Yishma'elim coming from Gilad, and their camels are full of all these kind of wonderful spices and balsam. We know the famous Rashi there. It smelled beautiful for this tzaddik. And Yehuda says, what is the point of killing our brother? We'll cover up his blood. Let's not do that. Let's sell him to the Yishma'elim. Let's not put forth our hand. He is our brother. He's our flesh. The brothers listen to him. Midyanim, the Sochrim, the merchants pass by, they pull up Yosef from the pit, they sell Yosef to the Yishma'elim for 20 kesef, and we have to deal with Asarhu Gemalchus decades, millennia later, because of this sin. They bring Yosef to Egypt. Reuven comes back to the pit. Yosef's not in the pit. Remember, Reuven is the man of good intentions, but not enough courage. He tears his clothing, and the brothers sit, Vayashav Alachav, he goes to his brothers, the lad is not here, what should I do? They take the ksonis of Yosef, they shecht a goat, they dip the ksonis in blood, they send the ko, and they come to father. Look what we found. Akerna, famous last words, appear so many times in these stories. Yitzchak was unable to recognize Yaakov, so Yaakov is unable to recognize the truth of what has been done to him. Tamar and Yehuda, next week's parsha, Yehuda will recognize. Anyway, fine. Akerna, recognize. Whose cloak is this? Is it the cloak of your son? And he recognizes it, but he doesn't recognize the deceit. There's a double meaning here. Vayakira, he recognizes the coat, but he does not recognize what has actually been done. Ksonis bini, it's the cloak of my son. Chaya ra'a chalasu, a wild animal ate him. Tarof taraf Yosef, my son has been torn to shreds. Vayikra Yaakov simlosav. He tears his garments, he tears kriya. Vayasam sak b'masnov, he puts sackcloth on his loin. Vayisabal al beno yamim rabim, he mourns for his son many days. You know, very interesting. The next pasuk is, vayakumu kol banav v'chol benosov l'nachamo. His sons, all his sons, and all his daughters get up to comfort him. They get up to comfort him. 5 minutes ago you were bringing the worst Gehenim upon your father. You knew that father loves Yosef. You know he made Maksonis Pazim. You know what this is going to do to father. He is the son of beloved Rachel. Now you're getting up to comfort him? Says Rav Salvechik, when did the brothers realize the value of Hine Matovu Manayim Shavas Achim Gamiachad? The moment the caravan disappeared over the horizon, the moment they lost him, they realized the value of how goodly and how pleasant it is when brothers sit together. Said the Rav, what do we learn from here? All too often we take so many things and the blessings in our lives for granted. When do we appreciate them? Proverbially, the minute the blessing disappears over the horizon. Such a strong Mr. Haskell, I'm talking to myself. Here they have good intention. They feel bad. You feel bad? What about 5 minutes ago? Maybe you should have thought of this yesterday. He refuses to be comforted, just like Rachel. And he says, I will go down to the grave mourning for my son, so Aviv, according to the Drash, it's Yitzchak, but his father cries for him. The Midianim sold him to Mitzrayim, to Potiphar. Okay. Rashi says, similar to Rashi at the end of Parshas Toldos that we already saw, what does it mean he mourned for his son, Yamim Rabim? Esri Mushtayim Shana, 22 years. From when he separated, and Sherad Yarad Yaakov the Mitzrayim, until Yaakov went down to Egypt, because he was 17 at the time of the sale, 17 at the time of the sale, 30 when he stood before Paro. Then there were the 7 years of plenty, and Yaakov came down in the second year of famine. So he saw that 17 ends up in jail at the age of 18. Language is there till he's 30. Then he's in charge of Egypt for the 7 good years. Now he's 37. In the second year, his father comes down. So he is 39. Sold at 17. Reunited with father at 39. 22. Hare asu mushtayim shana. 22 years. Kineged asu mushtayim shana. Shelo kiyem Yaakov kibud avaim. Equal to the 22 years. This is not the Rashi I already read you. This is in Vayeshev, Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Dalet. Equal to the 22 years that Yaakov did not uphold, did not fulfill the command of Kibud Avaim. Esrim Shana Shahaya Beveis Lavan, the 20 years in the house of Lavan, Ushtei Shanim Baderech, the 2 years on the road, coming home, Shana Vechetzi Besukos, Veshisha Chadashim Beveis El, he spent 18 months in Sukos, 6 months in Beis El. And that's why he says to Lavan, Zeli Esrim Shana Beveisecha. That is a quote from Perek Lamed Aleph Mem Aleph. These are to me. These 20 years are in your house. He was saying, Li Hain Alai Hain. Sophie Lilkos Kenegdan. These 20 years are mine, i.e., I will be held accountable. In the end, I will be stricken for these years. So all of this is really setting up. I don't mean that in a, like, detective way. I mean that seriously. Looking at the pshat, it doesn't seem to make any sense. Rashi tells us here 2 different times at the end of Toldos, and actually when Yosef is kidnapped from him, the fact that he was not mechabed his parents for 22 years, and therefore Yosef was taken from him for 22 years. So how do we understand this? Okay, I must thank Mati Weinberg, who's not here. I hope she will listen to the shir all night. Because after we asked the question in last week's class, and we spent some time proposing answers, but I said the answer, some of the answers sounded very nice, but I said, you know, and it's such a strong question on Chumash, we need to see some sources. So she sent me a link to a site that offered many different answers with sources, with the links to those sources. So I'm going to quote all the sources, so my gratitude to her, even though she is not here, for her taking our question seriously and actually following up. I want to begin actually with Medrash Esther Rabbah. This is not from Mati or Al Nine. This is a Medrash that I'm familiar with, related to one of the first psukim that we read in class. Esav says, because you know when we started Tehillim, you said we needed it. And when I came in, someone showed me the video taken in Costco yesterday. I was in Costco yesterday. I was not there when that happened, which was a good thing because I am very afraid of the Umos HaOlam, I believe, in general, with good reason, more often, unfortunately, than not, coming from 4 Holocaust survivors. Okay. Perchav Zion, Pasuk Mem Aleph, Vayistam Esav es Yaakov ala bracha. This is the first Pasuk we read in class. Esav harbored hatred towards Yaakov over the blessing that his father blessed him. And Esav said in his heart, Yikruvu Yemei Eval Avi, the days of Avelos for father will come close, because we know father's old. Because the parak begins with, Vayihi ki zakein Yitzchak, v'tichahene yinev mera'os. He knows he's going to die. Lo yadati yamosi b'avur tevarachach nafshi lifnei amus. The stage is set. Yitzchak's an old man. V'aharga es Yaakov achiv. He comes up with a plan. I'm going to kill my brother. This is Medrash Esther Rabbah 7:23. Amar Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Levi says, Arurim heim harashaim. Cursed are the wicked. Shehem misaskim be'etzar ra al Yisrael. They are busy with bad advice against Israel. V'chol echad ve'echad mehem, and each and every one of our enemies, yo eitz lefi darko. This isn't, translation is my own, okay? So, yo eitz lefi darko, has his own way of advice or plan. V'omer, and he says, atzatzi tova me atzascha. They try and outbid each other. I have a better plan for killing than you. Esav Amar. Esav said, Shota, hiya Kayin. Esav learned from the first murder. Kayin was a Shota, he was a fool. Shaharag Esachiv, he killed his brother, but it was Bechaye Aviv. When he killed his brother, his father Adam and Chava were still alive. And what happened with Adam and Chava? We forget that they had a third child. Their third child is named Shase. So the Medrash tells us, Shate or Shase. So the Medrash tells us that Cain and Hevel were fighting over control of the world, not just flax. And whose offering was accepted? Who's going to control the world? So when Cain kills Hevel, Cain thinks, I am going to be the sole ruler, dictator, emperor. However, what did he do? He left father alive. In the interim, what did father and mother do? They had another child. Lohaya Yodea Sha'aviv Pare Virave. He didn't realize that his father could still be fruitful and multiply. Says Esav, Ani Eini Osakach. I'm going to make up for Cain's mistake. Ella Yikruvu Yimei Evel Avi. So what did he say? I'm not going to let father have more children. I'm not making the same mistake. I'm going to wait till father dies. He's assured that he's not going to have any more children. If he's dead, I will kill my brother. I will make the same mistake as Cain. However, what happened? He didn't calculate that in the interim, Yaakov went and married and had children. So he did not solve the problem. He waited for father to die. But however, Yaakov was a grown man, Yaakov has children. Along comes the next enemy, Paro. Paro, Omer Shota, Haya Esav. Paro says Esav was a fool. V'chilo Haya Yodea, She'achiv Paro V'reve. Doesn't he know while he's waiting for father to die that his brother is fruitful and multiplies? B'chaye Aviv, in the lifetime of his father. Ani Eini Osakach. I am going to be smarter than Cain. I am going to be smarter than Esav. I'm not going to do that. Ella, what's he going to do? Ella Adiunin Dikikin Tachas Kirase Imosehen Ana Mechanik Lahon. While they are still coming out of their mother, I'm going to strangle them. Ureisam al ha'avnayim im benhu v'hamiteno. So what does he say? Vayuka parla mialdos ha'ivrios. He calls the mialdos ha'ivrios. I said the pasuk out of order. And he says, when you see them on the birthing stool, okay? The child is literally emerging. Imagine such a scene. They're coming out. Break their neck. Hadahu dichtiv kala bena yulada yar tashlichu. Haman comes along and he says it didn't work because Paro only killed the boys. So Cain makes a mistake. He leaves the further generation, the previous generation alive. He could still father a child. Esav makes a mistake. He waits for the previous generation to die, but he doesn't realize his generation can still father children. Paro thinks he's so smart, but he leaves the girls alive. Along comes Haman. And Haman says, this is Medrash Esther Abba 7:23, Zayin Chav Gimel. Haman Amar, Paro, Shota Haya, Paro was a fool. Kol HaBen HaYulad Hari Teshichu. V'chilo Haya Yodea Shehabanos. Doesn't he know there are females? Nisos, Paros, V'Ravos. Not only can men be fruitful, I'm not talking about fulfilling the mitzvah, I'm talking about literally. Not only can men father children, women also have children. They can also be fruitful and multiply. Ani eini osakach. Haman says, I'll be the smartest of all of them. I won't be like Cain. I won't be like Esav. I won't be like Paro. Kach, ala osakach, lahashmid, lahargul, abid, es, kol, hayudim, mina'ar, va'ad zakein, taf, v'nashim. Now you understand that pasuk. What was he doing? He's doing teshuvah. For all the previous murderers, all our previous oivim, arur, heim, harishaim, says the Medrash, he's doing teshuva for all the previous murderers who messed up and left some Jews alive. And then I'm going to add to there, then you come to Hanukkah. I'm going to add on to this, that the Syrian Greeks realize, that Antiochus realized it doesn't work to kill us physically. Everyone who has tried to kill us physically has failed. Even brilliant Haman. So Haman is the time of Churban Bayisheni. Even brilliant Haman, Parasumadai, who said, "Call HaYehudim," but now we understand, Na'ar Tezakin, Taf Vinashim, not just the males, also the females, not just the elderly, also the young. It's not working. So along comes Antiochus IV, and he says, I'm going to kill them spiritually. no Bris Milah, no Shabbos, no Rosh Chodesh. I will root out the foundations of their faith. And this is not the Medrash says. I'm adding on to this. And then, perhaps, I will kill out the people. Baruch Hashem. They are not successful. So yes, what happened in Costco is frightening, and it's happening all over, and we are in frightening times, but we also have to remember Sha'asa Nisim La'avosenu Bayamim Haheim Bazman Hazeh Al Mechamos Al Hachuos Al Haniflaos. I'm Azar Sashem Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker, that if they try physically, from the old to the young, the men to the women, it didn't work. So Antiochus Epiphanes comes and says it doesn't work that way, so let's root them out. No more Torah learning. No more Shmirah Shabbos. That's why we know, I think we say it every single year, that Hanukkah includes 8 days, Keneged Bris Milah. It always includes a Shabbos, because Shabbos won over the laws of the Syrian Greeks, and it always includes a Rosh Chodesh, because they outlawed Milah, Shabbos, and Chodesh. Why? Because Kitov says, Shabbos represents the world has a creator. The Greeks wanted to say, the world does not have a creator. Milah represents the body has sanctity, kedusha, restraint. You can't do whatever you want. The Greeks' culture is the body has no restraint. And finally, Chodesh, says Kitov, represents time has sanctity. And the Greeks say time is profane. There's nothing holy in time. Do whatever you want. Therefore, we show by keeping these three things, Davka on Hanukkah, 8 days corresponds to Milah. We keep Milah shows the body has restraint. Shabbos shows the world has a creator. We testify to the involvement of the Ribbono Shel Olam every week in our lives and in our homes. And finally, Rosh Chodesh shows to the Yahadus, time is tremendous sanctity. So that was the first pasuk we quoted, very relevant to, unfortunately, in Yanei Dioma that we see going on today in the world. Arur heim harasha'im, sheheim misaskim be'etza ra'a al Yisrael. That also relates to Hanukkah, because you could say they tried to be smarter, like the communism in Russia. They try, why do they try and kill spiritually? Because the physical korban doesn't work. That's exactly what the Rav says about the Romans. The persecution did not begin right away after Bayesheni. After Bayesheni, says the Rav, in his commentary to the Kinos Antisha B'Av, and the Lord is righteous in all his ways, of Salvechik says, after the korban, Rome thought they rooted out Knesset Yisrael. There would be no more problem. There would be no more Torah. They physically came to destroy us. We're finished. Only 65 years after the korban did they start their campaign of spiritual annihilation, because they thought, after physical korban, there's no more Knesset Yisrael. Did it work? No, Hodu Hashem Kitov, Kili Olam Chasto. Let us now begin answering our strong question. Why was he punished? The Maharsha, to Maseches Megillah 16b, asks this question. Okay, reason number one. He explains, after 14 years that Yaakov spent in Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever, before he came back to Haran, before he went to Haran, I should say, Esav calmed down. And the Maharsha says, Rivka sent Devorah, Menekes, the maidservant, it literally means a nursemaid, but at a certain point, it obviously not, doesn't mean nursemaid, to call Yaakov back. He did not return for 22 years, he was punished. So that's the first pshat. According to the Maharsha, to Maseches Megillah, Tes Zayin Beis, after the 14 years in Shem Ve'Ever, perhaps you could say in the Schus of Torah, Esav's mind changed. Rivka sent Devorah back, he did not come back. Therefore, he was punished. Number two, the Ben Yehoyada, the Ben Ishchai writes, commentary to Megillah, Yud Zayin Amar Aleph. So I printed this up. So I'm going to read it to you inside. The Maharsha to Maseches Megillah, I do not have the Lashon inside. But the Ben Ishchai to Maseches Megillah, Yud Zayin Aleph, I do have the Lashon, and I'm going to read it to you. Okay? Ben Yehoyada quotes to Maseches Megillah, Yosef Piresh Me Aviv. Yosef was separated from his father. Shelo Ra'ahu. He did not see him. Esrim Vishtayim Shana for 22. Hello, you with me?
Years.
Hiksha. Hakasha. We have Akasha. Akasha Meharsha. Lama Nanash Yaakov. Allah Avinu, Allah Vashalom, why was Yaakov, our forefather, Allah Vashalom, punished? Al Osam Chaf Beishanim, for those 22
Yes, Kavan, because de biratzon aviv v'imo halach. And we read the psukim inside. It seems to be very clear that it was with the blessing and the willingness and the desire of his father and his mother that he ran away. V'nira lomar, v'siyata d'shmaya, d'hu ne'enash al shisha shanim shanit akev v'veis lavan. Ah. It seems to be that he's punished for the 6 years that he delayed or tarried by the house of Laban. What were the 6 years for?
To get the flocks.
The flocks. So his parents told him to go. What was the command?
To get married.
To what? Exactly. Don't take a daughter from Canaan, just like Yitzchak did not take a daughter. Avram was adamant that Yitzchak should not take a daughter from Canaan. Go back to my homeland. He was sent by his parents. I read the psukim in the beginning of class. I'm not taking the time to go back and read them. But he was sent to go to the house of love and to get married. Nobody said anything about going to get rich. After he finishes marrying and paying, he was an honest man, Yaakov Ish Emes. So he makes a deal with Lavan, 14 years for two wives. But after he finished that, he stays for 6 years. And once he stayed for 6 years, perhaps not the entire journey was L'shem Shemaim. Perhaps not the entire journey was to be Mekayim Kibud Av and Aim. I'm not saying anything. That's why I specifically said last week, it's such a caution, it's Yaakov Avinu, that I'm not prepared for us to say anything on our own. We need to see some sources here. But now the Ben Yehudiah says that if the 6 years the Satan is about to say, if those 6 years weren't L'shem Shemaim, L'shem Kibud Av and Aim, maybe...
None of it was.
Acha Satan haya lo pitchon pe lekatreg. Now the Satan has an opening to become the prosecutor. Gam al yudalid shanim shel nesui Leah v'Rachel. Maybe those 14 years when he was involved with Rachel and Leah. But Amro, because the Satan to say, listen, Kevan dinit akev ad she shanim. Listen, he meandered another 6 years. Furthermore, don't forget, we can add to this. It's the same thought. I'm not adding my own insight, but he took a long time to schlep home. Why do you need to build sukkos and stay in sukkos for 18 months? Why do you need to be 6 months in Beis El? You need to come to Beis El and offer an offering, but like, move on, get home. Yesh po lomar degam osam hayudalad lo asa sham bishfiel tzivui aviv. Maybe the Satan could say those 14 years weren't because father commanded him, just like the 22 years were not because, just like, I'm sorry, the 6 years were not because father commanded him. Ella, arav lo lashavis beveis lav. And what does arav mean? Ayin reish beis? It has two meanings.
He was a...
It doesn't mean guarantor.
Oh, it doesn't.
Call Yisrael aravim zebazah. It means pleasant. Va'arva lahashem minchas Yerushalayim, Yehuda Yerushalayim kimei olam. We finish Shemoneh Esrei every day. What is the pasuk saying? It's a pasuk from Nach. Va'arva lahashem minchas Yehuda Yerushalayim kimei olam. The offerings of Yehuda Yerushalayim should be pleasant to God. So the Ben Yehoyada says here, Ela arav lo lashavis b'veis lavin. You know, it's not so bad here in Galus. I have all these wives, I have all these children, now I'm going to be rich. It was pleasant for him to dwell in the house of Lavan. She'im haya Lavan rotza tate lo benosaf. Lavan wants to give him his daughters. By the way, Rashi tells us, but who else was Lavan's daughters? Rashi to last expression.
Bila
and Zilpah were also Lavan's daughters. So he marries Lavan's four daughters. Take if below avoda gam kain haya mit'akev sham. Maybe it would be that if Lavan didn't want him to work, he would have stayed there anyway, because it seems to be it's good for him. Because what do you need to be rich for? Your parents told you run away to get married. That's kibud aveim. Your parents did not tell you to go there, to become a businessman. What are you mating the flocks and stripping bark of tree and putting it in the water? And however the sheep face, that's how the sheep comes out. Who told you to do this? This is not my own words. Everybody could take a look at this inside. I printed it up. So the Ben Yehoyada, the Ben Ishchai writes, his sin was he remained for another 6 years after he married Rachel and Leah. We just saw it inside. We just expounded upon it. So perhaps his kavana was not entirely
pure.
L'shem Shamayim, L'shem Kibud Avim. This reminded me in preparing Shir of a most fascinating Chiddush
by Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein was a son-in-law of Rav Soloveitchik. He was a co-Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Har Etzion, Talmud Chacham, and a great Torah personality. I'm quoting from the Sefer, by his light, character and values in the service of God, based on Shirim by Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Such a beautiful Sefer. It's really such a beautiful Sefer. All his sichos are very powerful. He has such a chiddush on Shaul and why he was dethroned. When we talk about Shaul being dethroned, he was commanded to, by Shmuel, to kill out Amalek. What did he do, however? He left
Agar.
He left the king alive.
And the flocks also.
And yeah,
sheep.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, Rahman is on the flocks.
So he didn't kill the whole people. So therefore, he didn't fulfill the command. So he was dethroned. You have to listen to Hashem. You have to remove the way you usually think about this story and listen to Rav Aaron Lichtenstein says. Why was it that King Shaul was punished for not killing Agag, Melech Amalek? Was it simply for not having killed the last remaining remnant? I suggest, says Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, that he was punished not just for sparing Agag, but because his refusal to kill Agag actually placed in a totally different light his killing of all the other Amalekites. But he's going to suggest, I'm going to tell it to you first, he wasn't dethroned for not killing Agag. He was dethroned for killing everybody else. Why? It's a very, very unique and tremendous chiddush.
He didn't do it l'shem mitzvah.
Oh, if he was killing l'shem mitzvah, he would have killed everybody. Maybe he had some ulterior motive. Maybe he could get something from the flocks. Maybe he could work out a deal with Agag. The fact that he did not kill everybody proves his intentions were not really l'shem shamayim. Maybe they were military. Maybe there were military considerations. Maybe there were economic considerations in killing out Amalek. Maybe it will be helpful to get the land of Amalek. The fact that he left someone alive proves that his killings were not l'shem shamayim. Because if it was totally l'shem shamayim, what would he have done? Killed everybody. Shaul had, now I'm going to tell you in his words. Shaul had been commanded to take a whole people and kill them. We are Jews. This is a morally frightful thing. The only justification for such a gezeirah is that it is an unequivocal divine command. The only way a Jew could kill out an entire people is if Hashem says, you can't morally justify killing an entire people. Even if the fathers are Rasha, you look at that 6 months old baby and you say, how could I kill a baby? How could I kill a 3 week old? How could I kill a 1 week old? How could I kill a pregnant woman? The only justification for killing out an entire nation would be because God said, just like I don't understand Shanas, even though I know the Kabbalistic answer about Cain and Hevel, but I'm not going to become Cain if I wear Shanas. Let's get real. I'm not going to kill one of flax and a wool. So why can't I wear Shanas today? And just like I don't understand Kashrus, because really, why can't I eat scalps? Maybe they're very delicious. I don't know. And it's a gezerah. It doesn't make sense. These are gezerahs that and just like I don't understand Para Aduma at all, I do not understand killing out every single Amalekite. Why don't I just kill all the men? The only justification for killing the entire people is because the Ribbono Shel Olam said, don't wear shanis, don't eat scallops, sprinkle the ashes of the red heifer, kill Amalek. Therefore, if Shaul had been motivated purely by Yira Shamayim, by obedience to the tzavta, the command, he should have followed the command to the letter. God did not say kill Amalek and spare Agag. If he didn't kill Agag, but he killed everybody else, it indicates that what motivated him in the killings was not the divine command, but some base impulse, some ulterior motive, some instinctive violence. He killed everyone. What's the proof? But he spared his peer, the royal commander. And if that is the case, he was not punished for sparing Agag. He was punished for killing everyone else. It was an act of murder. It's such a chiddush. You need to really remove everything you know about this to consider what he's saying. He's saying he was punished for murder. killing, but leaving Agag and the flocks proves that he has ulterior motives, which means if he has some ulterior motives, he's not doing this totally Hashem mitzvah. Because he killed them not purely due to divine command. The divine command is the only thing that would override the moral consideration. He killed them for military considerations, perhaps diplomatic, I'm still quoting considerations, maybe military considerations. Wiping out Amalek does not conform to what we would normally expect a Jew to do. Normally, we should not kill from child to suckling baby. But it is not immoral because God commanded us to do it. Hatsur ta'amim palo ki kol drachav mishpa. Although generally such an act is immoral, if God, from his perception and his perspective, the Haya, the Hova, the Yiya, commands it, it's moral. He brings up the Akedah. He says the same is true of the Akedah. It's normally immoral, but only one, capital O, can veto the other command that says, don't murder. Who is that? The Ribono Sha'olam. The moment one speaks of a clash between demands of Yiras Shamayim and the demands of morality, there's a problem. You can't speak about the clash between Yiras Shamayim and morality because I can't understand true morality. Only God can. There are risks to try to pit my morality against the command of God. The only way we can understand, it's a very bechidash, is that Sha'ol was punished for killing, not for sparing. Had it really been the Shem Mitzvah, he would not have left anyone or anything, not his comrade, not his peer, not the animals for sacrifices, not economic considerations. When I read this piece by the Ben Yehoyada about Yaakov and staying 6 extra years to work for the sheep, which gives the Satan a pitchon pel lekatreig, that's the Lashon we quoted, the Satan can answer, you know, maybe God, maybe it wasn't totally Hashem mitzvah. Maybe he had some other considerations here. His parents told him to go get married, but he went to get rich. Maybe the 14 years were also not, says the Ben Yehoyada, the Satan could say, Hashem shamayim. 1 second, please. 1 minute. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam shehakol nehiya bedvaro.
Amen.
Thank you very much. So we have two answers so far. The Maharsha to Maseches Megillah, Tes Zayin Beis says, just reviewing, 14 years he learned. After those 14 years, the Maharsha says that his mother sent for him through Devorah. Esav had calmed down, but he did not come home. Second pshat, we just learned inside Ben Yehoyada, and we saw inside that because he wasn't commanded to stay 6 extra years, but he did stay 6 extra years, he was therefore punished for all the years because it put his intentions in a totally suspicious light. Just like 6 years and 2 years on the road were in L'shem Shamayim, maybe the 14 years also were not L'shem Shamayim. I really do not have time for questions and comments. Can I please have a napkin? Yes.
Oh, I'm just saying that maybe it's not about intention.
Thanks.
Maybe it's about weakness. Because Yaakov was afraid to go home. And Shaul might have been afraid to do what he had to do. And it seems that it's true because when you look at David HaMelech, they say that we had to have the blood of Rus inside of us because sometimes we don't have the strength and we're too afraid. So maybe it's about fear of not being able to carry out what Hashem wants. Like Reuven didn't have the strength. Maybe this weakness is what Jews have to overcome to bring Mashiach.
Okay, so it's so interesting you're saying this. You specifically just said that we need the strength to overcome to bring Mashiach. You mentioned Rosh HaMoaviyah, because the Rav in Abraham's Journey, the Sefer called Abraham's Journey, has the most tremendous piece on why the mothers of Mashiach are Tamar, the Bechora, and Rus. And he speaks about the three elements. Tamar had a courage and a tenacity. She had a patience. She did not give up. All her friends married and had babies, and she waited and waited till the right moment to get Yehuda. He says, Klal Yisrael needs patience. The Bechira had the tenacity to rebuild. The whole world was entirely destroyed. It takes tremendous courage to say, I see destruction in front of me, but I will try however I can to rebuild. And Rus had the dedication not to leave her mother-in-law and a courage to restart her life. So Rav has this exact piece where he says those are the three traits we need from these three women to be Knesset Yisrael until Bias Mashiach. Beautiful. Yes?
I just want to say, you know, there was put doubt on Yaakov for the 14 years that he waited. But like, you know, the prosecutor brings that up. Well, like, wouldn't Hashem know really what was Yaakov's intent?
Say it again.
The prosecutor brought up the fact that, okay, since he stayed 6 years, probably the 14 years that he stayed longer, who knows the reasoning? But does Hashem know the reasoning? That Yaakov, you know.
There's a satan. He has a job to do. We shouldn't give him a pitchon pe. You give the satan an opening. Oh. How do we? How are we prosecuted against? Why can't we wear gold on Yom Kippurim? Why, when the Kohen Gadol went in to do the Avoda in the Lifnai V'Lifanim, he did not wear gold? Hashem doesn't know that Chayin HaEgel is overrided. Ein HaKategor Nasa Sanegor. Don't wear gold because a prosecutor can't become the defense. If he eats, there's a prosecutor in Shemayim. And on Meir V'Asim Shana, we're all going to face him. Doesn't Hashem know? Taka, we're responsible for our actions. Yeah, Hashem knows. But the prosecutor has a job. Third reason. Oh, very interesting. Third reason. Sifsei Chachamim. 37-34. Lamed Zayin, Lamed Dalet. We quoted that pasuk already. Woo! Amazing. Sifsei Chachamim. My thanks to Michelle Berger for asking the question. And my thanks for me, to Hashem, for giving me the thought to ask the question in this class and spending time discussing it. And my thanks to Mati Weinberg for sending me the link to Miyodea website, and to Rosh Olam for giving me access to the sources to look them up. There we go. And for you, for learning with me. Lamed Zayin, Lamed Dalet. You read this already. Vayikra Yaakov Simlosav. Vayosam Sak B'masnav. He tears his garments. He tears Kriya. He puts sackcloth on his loin, and he mourns for his son for many days. We already saw Rashi. We quoted this Rashi already. He mourns for his sons for 22 years. Rashi says, Beferish, the 22 years that he was not mechabed his parents, Yosef is taken from. Sifsei Chachamim. So this is Rashi to Lamed Zayin, Lamed Dalet. With Sifsei Chachamim Zayin. You see my sticky, my circle, I prepared shir. Here we go. The Im Tomar, Lama Nenash Al Kach. So it's not Michelle Berger who asked this question. Clearly, it is the Gedolei Machshava who asked this question way before we came along. Im tomar lama ne'enash al kach. You might ask, why was he punished for this? V'ha Yitzhak v'Rivka tzivui lo leilech l'sham v'likach isha. Didn't Yitzhak and Rivka command him to go get married? V'teirit Rabbeinu Bechaya b'parshas Toldos. He's going to call Rabbeinu Bechaya to parshas Toldos, which after I finish the Sifsei Chachamim, I'm going to go quote for you. Sheyesh lomar, you could say, ki datam haya sheyikach leya. I think someone said this last week. The yachazor miyad. His parents' intention was he should go marry Leya and come back right away. In fact, and I noticed it when I was looking over the psukim. Listen what his father says. His father commands him, it says we started with these psukim, but I'm repeating. Do not take a woman from Benos Kanan. Go to Padan Aram, to the house of Besual, your mother's brother. V'kachucha misham Isha. What's Isha?
One wife.
A woman. And I noticed that when I looked over the psukim to prepare today's shir, he is commanded to take a wife. What's interesting about this fact that the Sifsei Chachamim says he was commanded to take Leah. Leah doesn't have a problem with infertility. So if he is meant to father 12 Shvatim, his parents had Ruach HaKodesh, obviously, who could have fulfilled the job? Shaliyesh lomar, it's possible to say, or we can say, ki datam haya sheyikach Leah v'yachzor miyad. Aval who? That's why today no insights are my own. I mean, I brought a Ravar and Lichtenstein, but that's not my own insight because this is very strong. And we're talking about Yaakov Avinu, and that's why everything we're doing is quoting. Number four, who nasan einav b'Rachel? He cast his eyes upon Rachel. Mechamas Yofia. Because she was
beautiful.
Beautiful. Va'amar a'evdecha shavashanim berachel. Ve'im kein kol hazman shashaha haya birtso no. He was there willingly. Because who did he want? Because she was very beautiful. His parents said, go marry a wife and come back. So the first Ben Yehoyada that we read inside, if anybody actually wants to see it, here's Medrash Rabba that I began with about the Sonei Yisrael. Here's Ben Yehoyada. If anyone wants the sources, they are right here. Interestingly, therefore, the 6 years for the sheep, he was not commanded, but now we're learning that he was also not commanded to dawdle along for the winner of the beauty pageant. Get married and come home. So Rabbeinu Bechaya Taka says, Perchav Ches, Pasuk Hey, I'm in the Mikros Gedolos here. Vayishma Yaakov el avi ve'al imo, vayishlach Yitzchak es Yaakov, v'yesh l'shol. Kevan shebishlichus am halach ve'hei machlulo. You could ask a question. They sent him and they were mochel. They forgave him. Lama nena shal mitzvahs kibur ave'im kishanit akev esri mishtayim shana. If they sent him and they were moichel the kibur ave'im, why was he punished for 22 years? Shepeiresh mimena Yosef esri mishtayim shana kinegdom. That Yosef was taken 22 years like he didn't do kibur ave'im. Efshar lomar, I'm quoting Rabbeinu Bechaya. Their opinion was, their idea was, he should take Leah, he should return immediately when they send for him. Aval hu nason einav. The reason you heard this is because Sifsei Chachamim is quoting Rabbeinu Bechaya, but I'm now telling you the lashon of Rabbeinu Bechaya as well. Hu nason einav berachel haktana liyafia. Says Befeirush, he cast his eyes on the younger daughter because she was beautiful. He said, I will work for you for 7 years for Rachel. Im kein, kol hazman shenit akev haya birtzono, ulakach ne'enash kenegdon. And therefore, all the years that he was there, says Rabbeinu Bechai, were with Ratzon, were with his willingness and desire, and so he was punished. Pardes Yosef quotes the Sefer, Afar Yaakov. Rivka gave permission to stay in Haran Yamim Achadim. We saw in Rashi, does anyone remember? It was a long time ago. Rashi says, Mu'atim, a few. But Pardis Yosef quotes the Sefer Afar Yaakov, Rivka gave permission to stay in Haran for Yamim Achadim, which the Medrash means 7 years. That would go in tangent with the Sifsei Chachamim and Rabbeinu Bechaya. Yaakov made him work for 7 years, so he works for Lavan. After 7 years, he doesn't have to say, now Evda Chashavashanim Birachal Bita Ktana. Why do you need the second girl? Those 7 years, therefore, he was punished. Since he overstayed, he's now punished for the 7 years that he had permission to stay for. So you see, every extra tarry brings the Satan an opinion and a pitchon peh, that was Lashon of the Ben Yehoyada, an opening of the mouth, lekatri, to prosecute. You know, maybe the whole thing was on the Shem Shemayim, which is why I brought you the pshat, the unique chiddush of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. The Be'er Sada answers, Yaakov was, it's so interesting. The Be'er Sada, what's the actual time? I have 5 full minutes, Baruch Hashem. That clock is fast. The Be'er Sada answers, Yaakov was the one who caused Esav to get upset. For someone in his caliber, this was considered a sin. I'm going to now take that piece and quote Medrash Esther Rabba. Funny, because we spoke about Haman, now we're talking about Haman again for a moment. The Be'er Sada answers, Yaakov caused Esav to be upset. Whether it was intentional or not, a person is responsible for their actions. For a tzaddik on his caliber to cause someone to be in pain, you're accountable. You did something wrong. And in fact, the pasuk says, one second please, when Esav comes home and he realizes what has happened, he is so distraught that the pasuk says, Chaf Zayin Lamed Dalet, Kishmoa Esav Es Divrei Aviv, when Esav heard the words of his father, Vayitzak Tsa'aka gedola umara armaod. He let out a great cry, a bitter one, very much. And he says to his father, bless me too, father. The reason these words might sound familiar to you is because in Megillas Esther, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Aleph, the Pasuk says, Vayeda Mordechai es kol asher nasa, Vayikras begada, Vayikras simlosa, Vayusak, Vayeti besocha ir, and he, Vayeda Mordechai es kol asher nasa, Mordechai yada es kol asher nasa, Vayikras simlosa, I think it says, Vayitzak be'efer, by Esav it says, Vayitzak, with a tzadi, tzaaka gedola umara ad ma'od. And by Mordechai, in response to how we started shir, lahashmi la'arugul al-beit es kol ha'yudim, by Mordechai it says, and he ran on the streets of the city, Vayizak zayin, za'aka gedola umara. Doesn't say ad ma'od. But the Lashon's almost the exact same. Medrash Esther Rabbah, 8:1. It's so funny because we already quoted from Medrash Esther Rabbah. So the Medrash says, Amar Rabbi Chanin, whoever says, it's in Aramaic, and we're running out of time. I wanted to read you the whole thing with the Lashon of the Medrash, but unfortunately I don't have time. Whoever says God is loose regarding sin, he overlooks sin, and he won't hold us accountable. So the Satan is Makatri. Doesn't God know? Yeah, God knows, but there's a court of law. And in the Beis Din Sha'ames, there is a kategor. Whoever says God is loose and overlooks, will his let his bowels be loosened, i.e. he will be paid back. God is long-suffering, ma'arich ruche. However, ultimately, he collects his due. I'm quoting from Medrash Rabbah, but because it's Aramaic, and I don't have time to go to Aramaic and English, I'm telling you the English. Teda, like you may know, shaharei za'aka achas, hizik Yaakov le'esav. Yaakov made Esav cry, a cry, dichtiv, ayitzak ta'aka gedola umara, veheicha nifralo, and where were the descendants of Yaakov paid back for the cry that Yaakov caused to Esav? Bishushan. Shenne emar, vayizak za'aka gedola umara. He cried a great, here it is. He cried, no, it's not okay. He cried a great and bitter cry. So this goes back when I read this pshat of the Be'er Sada, who says that Yaakov was actually the one who caused Esav to get upset, and therefore he is accountable. It's a sin, and he has to be punished for that sin. Therefore, in a sense, he made himself run away, not his parents. You caused pain. Now he wants to kill you. Now you have to run away by your own doing. It reminded me of this Medrash where we clearly see that Yaakov's children did have to pay back for the pain that Yaakov... What's the Musar Haska? When I cause somebody pain, Chalila, Hashem Yirachim, Alai, it doesn't go unnoticed. And Rachmana Litzlan, it may not go unpunished. Last pshat, please. 11:29. Last pshat. The Lubavitcher Rebbe. Likutei Sichos, Volume 5. Kibbud Av Va'Em is not one of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. The Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach are believe in one God. Don't curse God. Don't murder. They're the three Yarg Val Yavars plus four more. Okay? Believe in one God. Don't curse God. Don't murder. Don't eat Eivra Minachai. No Gilu Arayos. Dinim, sets of courts of law, and don't steal. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal says, Kibbud Av Va'Em is not one of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. Even if we say the Avos kept the entire Torah, even before it was given, they were not commanded to do so. How could they be punished for not keeping something that they weren't even commanded to do? Do you understand this? You're punishing me for something that I'm not even commanded to do. He therefore explains the 22 years that Yaakov did not merit being honored by Yosef was not a punishment for the lack of honoring his parents. Because it's not even a Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. So how could he even say he was commanded? There's no Torah yet, even if they kept the whole Torah. And according to the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, he's still not obligated in Kibbud Av Va'Em. So Lubavitcher Rebbe says, the Likutei Sichos, Volume 5, I did not look it up. It was the manner, excuse me, of cause and effect. Even though technically he was not against Halacha, there's cause and effect in this world. It's natural, you know, it's something that we say to our kids. We've moved away from using the word punishment to consequences. Natural consequences. If you do this, you leave your assignment at home, your assignment will be late. If you wake up late, you will miss the bus. It's not a punishment that you missed. I'm not punishing you that you missed the bus, and now you have to figure out how you have to get to school. Well, today, all mothers will help their children probably figure out how to get to school. Is it the best idea? I'm not sure that it is. Because we're not teaching them that the world runs with consequence to your behavior. So the Bava Treba also has a unique psha. He says he wasn't being punished for kibud aveim because the Torah wasn't given. They accepted upon themselves to keep something that they were not mitzuvah. There's no kol asher dibar Hashem nasa v'nishma. Vayikach sefer bris vayikra ba'ezne ha'am. There's no sefer bris. And it's not even a shavah mitzvah b'nei noach. It's a natural consequence of what you do to others shall be done unto you. So I already did the thanks. Hodu Hashem Kitov. I think that Baruch Hashem, we gave many interpretations with many Musar Haskels that resulted and